Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. We're going to pick this back up where we left it a few weeks ago. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 to 15. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from all his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceived that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceived that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been, and that which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask now that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive from you your word, that it may change us, that it may inspire us, that we may be obedient and joyful as we heed your call. Lord, we long to know you better. We long to meet you today. Here we are, Lord. Send us. In Jesus' name, amen. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. The things we experience here in life, they're not accidents. Nothing is by chance. Everything has a time and a purpose, right in verse 1. Big things, little things, all things. And these seasons come when they are meant to, in season, right on time, and they are fitting for us to help us. They are for our good. They are a gift. And that's a big statement. How do we know that they are a gift? Because we know who is responsible for these seasons, who brings them about. God is the one who brings it all into being. He is behind all things. And the Bible says that all things work together for our good, for those who are Christians. So, the seasons of life are for our good. Solomon lists some of them out in the first 8 verses, and then he says on in verse 10, I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. These cycles of life, all these things, are the things that God has set before us to live through. They are our seasons, given by God for a purpose. So your life is not an accident. The things that are happening to you are not an accident. And not only are they not an accident, but they are intended by God to turn into something beautiful. He says that in verse 11. He makes all things beautiful in its time. Everything is beautiful in its time. So today's ugliness is tomorrow's beauty by the plan and power of God. Today's sadness is tomorrow's joy by the plan and power of God. God is working all things for our good, And we are called to be patient in our time of difficulty because God sent every season. And he turns every season into something beautiful, and that includes the bad things. God doesn't just bring comfort and ease. He's also responsible for setting the time for hard things to happen. Hard things also come from God and lead to beauty. Look at some of them in those first 8 verses. Some of the tough ones. Killing. Dying. Weeping. And mourning. Hating. And all the rest. Solomon says that God has given these. The times have been set apart for these things. They are established by God for the purpose of creating beauty, bringing glory to God and joy to you. He sends both the good and the bad. So when it is time to weep, when it is time to mourn, when you have lost a loved one or are undergoing some suffering, some loneliness, some hardship, you can be sure that God has done it. In his goodness, God has done it. It is he who sends the season of suffering upon you. It is he who sends the seasons of loneliness. So consider a few verses here as we think about that. Wrap your head around that idea. I'll just read through them briefly. Amos 3, verse 6. Is a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? Isaiah 45, 7. I form light and I create darkness. I bring prosperity and I create calamity. I, the Lord, do these things. Job 9:24. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the face of its judges. If it is not he, God, then who is it? He's saying when there is wickedness, when the wicked prosper, and there's no justice, God is the one who has done it. If not him, then who? It has to be him. He is responsible for that. And we see even further, Acts 4:28. This is now referring to the crucifixion of Jesus, the single most evil event in the history of the world. The apostles say, they carried out what your hand, O God, and your will had decided beforehand would happen. God is the one behind it all. He sets the seasons and the times, both the good and the bad. He is absolutely sovereign over all of it. And this passage today is all about the sovereignty of God. That great doctrine under which you will either rejoice and flourish, or under which you will rage and be crushed. It is being set before you today, and you're going to see it and wonder. You can accept it or reject it, but what you can't do is ignore it. Solomon says outright, God sends the seasons of life and the seasons of death upon you. God is the one behind your joy, and he is the one behind your suffering. So as we have been saying, if joy is found through faith in God, then today our faith is going to be tested by all the evil and suffering in the world, with our joy hanging in the balance. No matter what happens, God never concedes his sovereignty, not for a moment, ever. God is always in control. We never are. And he doesn't explain it either. As a matter of fact, he hides it. Verse 11, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. We cannot find out what God has done. And then it gets emphasized even more in verse 14. Whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be taken away. He is in complete control over both good and evil. Every season. We don't know how. We can't know how. He's made sure of that. He has hidden it. You will not find it. I will not find it. And yet, he remains pure. There is no darkness in him at all. Moreover, he is making all things beautiful in their time. He turns every season into beauty. That's what he is doing. His goodness and his sovereignty are never in doubt, not for a moment. All things lead to the good of those who love him. All things leading toward the glory of God, either by blessing or by judgment. God is revealed. We get to know him. We can see him by what he blesses and by what he judges. And he will be revealed in his perfection to his children for their joy, for your joy. That is his power. The perfection of his ways beyond tracing out, glorious beyond measure. He does it. Faith in the goodness and sovereignty of God in every season is our great comfort, because the joy of the Lord triumphs over the problem of evil. Down to the very bottom, we must go. So let's get closer to this. When talking about the sovereignty of God, we must never turn away from the depth of evil. We must not hide from that reality. There are people in this room and in the world over who have suffered, who are suffering, and who will suffer. We dare not, we may not ignore or turn a blind eye to the depth of their suffering. In order for our faith to overcome and for us to find joy, we need to acknowledge fully what this means. All the way down, Solomon has just put all seasons into God's hands. So down to the very bottom we must go, every season, because of the joy of the Lord triumphs over the problem of evil. So God is creating beauty, therefore. He is creating beauty in its time. When the accident happens, he is creating beauty in its time. When the cancer diagnosis comes in, he has set the season for when your child gets beat up at school. God is in control, sovereign and good. When women are raped, he is good, and he sets the season when the drug addict commits suicide in despair. He is sovereign when your child rejects the faith. He is sovereign over the gas chambers in Auschwitz, that season of war that he created. Yes, he is sovereign over the killing fields of abortion, that wholesale slaughter of the innocents. Blood on the hands of a nation that cheers this murder and clamors for more. He is sovereign over your suffering, down to the very bottom. God is good, and he remains pure with no darkness in him at all. And he wields all of these things for his purposes. All the way down, we must go to the very bottom of human suffering to see that he is in control, and he has sent every season. He is there at the very bottom of your heartache, and he remains pure and good and powerful, always working for beauty. There is no darkness in God ever, and therein is our hope and our joy, even though we struggle to understand that. God's absolute purity and power is the guarantee of his victory and our joy. He is untouchable by the darkness. With infinite power and wisdom, he is bringing all of these things together for good, for those who love him, for good. All the horrors of this world, all your suffering, your sickness, your pain, all the way down, God remains both sovereign and good, working for beauty. This is the testimony of the scriptures, of this very passage. He brings about each and every season, and he makes each one beautiful in its time. through judgment or through blessing. And he does this in ways we can't understand, but through it, he offers us this gift of joy that Solomon has been looking for. That road he went down. Joy, because we may not know how he's doing it. That remains hidden, but we do know that he is doing it. His sovereignty over every situation and his goodness in every situation guarantees a happy end, if you can put it that way. Our faith is anchored in his unchanging and unchangeable character, that pure light, that he is greater than all suffering. Evil will not defeat him. It cannot defeat him. It cannot even touch him. There is no darkness in him at all. God is all-powerful and always good. Down to the very bottom of this world, the good and sovereign God is there reigning over it all. Know that by faith, and your joy will overflow. Because not only is he there, but he is active, working. Working all things together for your good and for his glory, making all things beautiful. His sovereignty and his goodness are never passive. He's not just an observer. He is always actively involved in every situation, making everything beautiful in its time. All the way down. And he's doing it now. He's doing it in this room. He's doing it in your life, this very moment. He's doing it all over the world in ways we cannot see, in ways that he will not allow us to see. That which he has hidden remains hidden. He has told us he is doing it. He has put eternity in our hearts so that we long to see it. But it remains hidden, not less true, but hidden. And faith is required. End of verse 14. He does this. His unchangeable acts. Why? Why does he do that? Why does he hide it from us? Why are they so unchangeable? I can't add to them. I can't take away from them. Why does he do it? Here's the answer. So that we will fear him. Worship him. Because submission to God, as we have already discovered, submission to God is the road to joy. And he has paved the road to joy with the mystery of his sovereignty. So that we will worship him and so find joy. The mystery itself is for our good. We think that we will have joy when we figure it all out. We won't. Not here, anyway. We will have joy when we put our faith in the good and sovereign God, submitting to him. Yes, even through all of the suffering of this world. But like Peter taking his eyes off Christ and sinking down under the water, so we too will often sink under the pain of our suffering. It's hard and there are things we don't understand. But God has not left us defenseless or mindless here. He does not ask us to just accept his sovereignty and goodness by blind faith. No, our faith is not blind. It is anchored in the very real cross of Jesus Christ. That sharp goad of death pierced God also, literally. He himself submitted to suffering to the fullest extent, fuller than any horror I just mentioned, or that you can think of. See the sinless Christ on the cross, beaten and rejected and whipped, nailed down. Mocked. He underwent the cruelest of suffering. We don't know how it all works, but we can see Jesus himself on the cross. He who knew the end from the beginning, who knew the Father, he rejoiced and he endured. For the joy that was set before him, entrusting himself to the will of God, to his sovereignty and to his goodness, Jesus suffered as no man ever suffered. For the joy set before him, his faith ran deeper than evil itself. Down at the very bottom was God. And he turned the suffering of Jesus into the salvation for the world. Beautiful in its time. No, we are not blind in our faith. Not at all. The cross is real. You get splinters on it had you touched it. The empty tomb is real. It has been proven submission to God is the road to joy. The joy of the Lord does triumph over the problem of evil. And we can see already the first fruits of the beauty that God is bringing about through the suffering of Christ. His resurrection, the salvation of sinners, the defeat of death, eternal life, eternal joy, infinite blessings of God for us. And that's just the beginning. We really have no idea what heaven's going to be like for eternity. If the first fruits brought resurrection from the dead, how much more will there be in the life to come? The suffering of Christ, that God himself did not avoid the evil of this world, but submitted to it fully, even to death, is the way to bear up under your suffering. Center yourself on the cross. You can bear up because Christ went before you to show you the way, and he promises to be with you in your suffering. He is a faithful high priest, a comfort, because he has suffered and was tempted in every way that you are. He understands, he gives strength and hope to those who are hurting. All the way down he went to being very forsaken of God. To the very bottom of it all, cursed by God. And now he is Lord over all of it, bringing it all together for the good of those who love God, making everything beautiful in its time for his glory and for your joy. He is your Savior and he will do it. There's no darkness in him at all. He is the way out. He remains pure. Faith in him is the road to joy, no matter what happens to you. The strength of your joy is in direct proportion to the strength of your faith. How's that? As your faith grows, so does your joy, even when you suffer. Doesn't mean that you're always happy and smiling. Jesus wasn't. See him at Lazarus's tomb. See him in the Garden of Gethsemane. See him on the cross. Not a lot of smiles there. But rather, there is a bedrock of joy which holds you up in your dark times. That is why Paul can say that we're hard-pressed, but not crushed. We are struck down, yes, but we're not destroyed. We are perplexed, for sure. Who can understand God's sovereignty? But we are never in despair. Why? Because faith holds you up. The struggle is real. The pain is real. Your tears are real, but they do not lead to despair. By faith, they lead ultimately to Jesus and to joy. Your joy increases as your faith increases. And here, now in verses 12 to 13, we see the result in trusting God's sovereignty and his goodness. What does Solomon say? I perceived that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Solomon has said that God is in control of every season. In control of every season. That is, he is sovereign. You get that? In control of every season, God is sovereign. And he has said that God is making all things beautiful in their time. That is, God is good. And his sovereignty and his goodness pave the road of our life of faith in him. And now look at what that produces in us. Let's look at the results of this sovereignty and goodness of God, embraced by faith. We are to be joyful. We are to do good. And we are to take pleasure in our life. These are the results of living by faith, trusting in the sovereignty and goodness of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in these things, in these three things, the world sees the power and beauty of God displayed. These three gifts, joy, good deeds and pleasure in life, even through your season of suffering, they stand as witnesses to God, to the entire world, and they are given to you. Listen, you have been put on display to testify to the greatness of God by using these three gifts. Embrace them for the glory of God, joy, good deeds, pleasure in life. In the face of this evil and meaningless world and our suffering, we have these as a testimony to something greater. Joy in every circumstance, because we know for certain that God is in control, that he is making all things beautiful, that his will is never thwarted and his purposes will be fulfilled. Joy because we have been forgiven all of our sins and now we have a place prepared for us in heaven. Joy because death no longer has any power or sting for us. It has been defeated. Life eternal is ours. Peace and joy reconciled to our Creator in heaven forever. This is a joy that sustains through the worst of sufferings on earth all the way down, because the joy of the Lord triumphs over the problem of evil. Good deeds, no matter what, we are to be always working for good, just as our Father in heaven is always working for good, for beauty, making all things beautiful. We follow in his footsteps. We see with eyes of faith that God is always good, and therefore we are never dismayed in any circumstance. There's no darkness in him. And even when we don't understand, joy is always possible. My confusion doesn't put darkness in God. It highlights the darkness in me, but not in him. No matter the amount of work that it takes, or the odds that are stacked against, or the impossibility of whatever situation we're in, we keep going, doing good deeds in every circumstance, always working towards beauty, no matter the opposition, because we know that God is always working for beauty. Our hope in him is relentless. This is a testimony to the power of God, because no matter the depth of evil, good goes deeper yet. Pleasure in life, faith and submission to God bring about a deep pleasure in life, because this is our Father's world and he has given it to us. His gifts of food, drink, and work are good, and they are intended for our pleasure. And we take pleasure in them because we believe God that he has given them to us to enjoy. Pleasure, then, is the result of trust. Pleasure is the result of trust. Jesus is King and he is Lord over all, and we testify to that by our pleasure in life as a gift from our King. We trust him fully, not needing to panic or worry. The King is here. So do your work. Eat your food. Enjoy your life in the kingdom of God. It is in you. It is kept in heaven for you, and nothing in all creation can take it from you. Learn how to rejoice and celebrate all the good gifts in creation. These three things are gifts from God. Meditate on them. Embrace them. Be thankful for them. Rejoice in them. Be joyful, for God will see it done. And in him there is no darkness at all. Always do good, just as your Father always does good. We are to be beautiful in good deeds like him. And take pleasure in your life. Enjoy your food and your work, thanking God for the beauty in his creation. He has made it for us to enjoy, so let us enjoy it fully, even when the season is hard. In these three ways, we will be a testimony to the world of the goodness of God as we proclaim the good news of the gospel. All are invited to believe on Jesus through his blood shed on the cross, that very real cross, for the forgiveness of sins unto life eternal for those who believe. We testify in word, we testify in deed. So now after that, I want to apply this to just one thing in particular. This applies all over our life, but I choose this one thing because if we fail in this area, we will miss all of this. And that area is the area of prayer. God has given us comfort and power in our weakness through this gift of prayer. We cannot understand the mystery of God's sovereignty. We cannot find out what God has done. Nothing that God does can be changed. Now, this mystery can very easily lead us to a place of discouragement instead of joy. I can't understand God. I can't change anything that he is doing, so why bother? Why bother with anything? God's going to do what God's going to do. It's beyond me and beyond changing. So why even try? Now, this is a common struggle with the doctrine of sovereignty, but here's the thing. We are dust. We don't know. But God knows that we are dust. From Psalm 103, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. So he knows our weaknesses. He knows that we are powerless. He remembers the limits that he has put on us. And in his kindness to us, through prayer, he has restored our dignity as image bearers. He has restored our place of authority. He has restored our power in creation. And he has poured out joy on us in abundance. And he has done this through the gift of prayer. He calls us to prayer. And by so doing, he removes our ignorance, our impotence, because he promises that he works through our prayers. He promises us that our prayers are powerful, that he responds to them, that they are effective in the world. So we don't understand his sovereignty. He knows this. So he invites us to engage with him through prayer at the very point of our need. He gives us power to bring things about that would not have been brought about if we had not prayed. He has decreed it to be that he works his sovereign will through the prayers of his people. Now, don't go saying that this is difficult to understand. It's not. It's impossible. You can't get there from here. God is sovereign, and yet he answers our prayers. We can be thankful that he has told us that he has hidden it. Because that would really be vexing if I would sit and, like, I need to figure this out. I got to figure it out. And God in his mercy says, no, you will not. I've hidden that. You're not going to get it. However, the promise stands that he answers the prayers, that he works his sovereign will through the prayers of his people. What a restoration of our authority and power. He does not fault us for our ignorance. Rather, he lifts us up. What a joy to be given such a gift. God invites us to meet him at the point of mystery, the very point of our need, where we do not understand, where we cannot understand, where it tears at your mind for the craziness of it all, that impossible relationship between my responsibility and God's sovereignty, God's goodness and my suffering. And he restores us through this gift of prayer. His goodness to us is in full bloom here. Beautiful beyond words that he would give us this gift. God, who never concedes his sovereignty to anyone, stoops to listen to our prayers and he answers. We should be a people of joyful, thankful, and expectant prayer. We should come running to prayer meeting, thankful and joyful for this great gift. There is so much we don't understand, so much evil in the world, so much heartache. And here God invites us into his counsel to effect change in the world. We are subduing the earth through prayer. In faith, we approach him with boldness and joy with our prayers, and our Heavenly Father, who hears his children calling, will answer. The sovereignty and goodness of God are pillars of strength and hope for those who put their faith in God. They are your assurance of his presence in your life through all of your seasons your assurance of his victory over every one of them, making all things beautiful, working them together for good to your everlasting joy. Let us therefore leave this place pursuing faith and embracing prayer. Let us live in the joy of the Lord, triumphing over the problem of evil by doing good deeds to the glory of his name, relentlessly praising his goodness by enjoying our lives together. May God be praised in us, his people. Let the world of sinful men and every demon of hell see and be astonished at the joy of his people. And so be without excuse. And God will see to it, by blessing or by judgment, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the perfect beauty that God is working towards. And its time, its season that has been set by God, is coming. By our joy, our good deeds, and our pleasure in life, may we respond, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, your sovereignty is glorious beyond our understanding. Every season is yours, given to us. The good and the bad, Lord, we submit to you. Though we don't understand what it all means, we know by faith that you are sovereign, that you are good, that you are God. You bring all things together for beauty. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this gift of prayer, this comfort, this restoration to us that we did not deserve. Lord, hear our prayers. Come to us, your people, and create beauty in us. Lord, we are here. We long to understand. We long to live. We long to embrace these things as the beautiful gifts they are. Father, impress this passage, this truth on us, your people, as we go from here, that we may learn how to rejoice, that we may learn how to conquer over evil by the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We thank and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.